Jeremiah chapter 10. And remember, as we're looking in chapter 10, the Nebuchadnezzar is on his way down to Jerusalem from the north, and they are aware of that, and they have consistently, Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, Benjamin, they have consistently not paid attention to Jeremiah. They didn't think about Ezekiel. They didn't think about Daniel. They didn't think about Habakkuk. They aren't thinking about any of these guys. They just are out there and not paying attention. So now, here in chapter 10, remembering now, God has dealt with the heart and dealt with their religious activities that they counted in. And now, chapter 10, we share together. He encourages them, he helps them understand that getting tied up in idols, the heathen, verse 2, learn not the way of the heathen, the nations. And now remember, here's all the nations doing what they do. And in the process, what are they doing? Well, they aren't into God, they're into gods, little g. They're into idolatry. They're doing it. And in the process of doing it, remembering that here's idols. Remember, there are no idols. Genesis 6, Genesis 11, and thereafter, idols, gods, politics, nations. You have them. And in the process, you have all that, and all you do is look at history, and they all have, in some form, they developed, after Genesis 6, they developed religious systems. The religious systems were seen by way of their idolatry. Remember, we looked at the word demons. That goes way back to what they were doing. They were looking to the stars, the moon, anything, and the demons played a game and ended up with the worshiping of all kinds of anything and everything except God. And so here they are developing, and they had all the nations have their idols, and when a nation conquers a nation, they conquered a nation, and a nation would conquer one, and when they conquered it, they would start serving their god. In other words, if the first person is worshiping a tulip, and the second person comes in and takes over the tulip, they'll add the tulip to their repertoire, to their list of idols, because they want that god on their side. That's what they want. And so they add the gods. Now, we said all that because in history, and remember we share together in Ezekiel 14 in that, that God all over the place tells us that the human heart, in having the absence of God, a void, has to fill the void with something or someone, and they do. So they create religion, idols, gods, little g, all come out of a human heart. And the human heart is able to go and make and adjust God to God, God's idols. They can adjust them as they need to. And so history marches along. And as history marches along, we share together, here is the turn of the modern age, comparatively. And you go to the 1800s and all of that, even before that, 1800s. And in the process, you have evolution, remember. And evolution, there is no God. So you've got a whole world, more or less, raised with evolution. And then you add communism, which is a huge hunk of people. And they have no God because they're they're basically godless, like evolution, like communism. It's, they don't believe in a God. And so then we go to what? Well, communism, then there's humanism. And we go to humanism, and humanism, but we don't, we're humans, good enough in and of and by themselves. And then you have Freudian psychology, and therefore it says, since we're overgrown leaves and chemical reactions, then you want to find happiness somehow. And so Freudian psychology seeks to go and develop how to adjust yourself that you're nothing but an overgrown leaf. And you do that. So you have all of that. And you put all of that together and more. And when you do, then what happened to the gods? Well, the gods weren't working. Religion wasn't working, solving human needs. So religion has to change. And thus people are looking, because they have no, religion isn't helping anybody. So now we got to go and work at it. And then Darwin with evolution and communism and Marxist and all of that. All of those things come along. And in the process, we're open to them because we don't have any connection to God in our religions, idols, and the idols all disappear. That's my point. There aren't any. Very, very rarely do you find anyone worshiping as they did the idols of years, centuries ago. They don't do that. They don't. And what do we become? Well, we become a materialistic society. We're very materialistic. And we go to the webs, we go to the smartphones and all the ingenuity and ingeniousness of science and electronics. And we do that. And we have a very materialistic society. And we're looking. What are we looking for? We're looking for economy and goods and business and profit. And it's all earthly bound. When no one's trying to get to heaven with their gods. I mean, who's looking for the gods? No one's looking for the gods. They're looking for the government. They're looking for the stock market. They're looking for buying and selling. That's what they're doing. It's our world. So now all of that is very important because things have all moved down to a new level. It's the lower level, which is now higher in its import, impact. So it, as it goes down, the importance of it in the world for the devil and the system goes up. As it goes down, he goes up in having control. Because you realize how easy it has control if there's no God against another God. When is communism going against evolution? When is evolution going against Freudian psychology? When is any of that going to happen? Not going to happen. So there's no opposition. And the churches, we have nothing. So it's all new mood. Now, having said that little bit, now, here's Jeremiah chapter 10. And there are idols in that day. And in the process, those idols, remember, are just that. And in picking up in verse 7, verse 7, who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, that's the word fitting or suitable, does it appertain, it's suitable for to you, it's very proper thing to do to honor you, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee, no one. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. In other words, they're looking for their idol to give them instruction about the future, about hope, about help. And the idols that they made are no better than they are. The stream can no rise no higher than it is. And therefore, it doesn't pay. Nothing pays off. That it's no better than the humans who write them. And think about them. Now, having said that little bit, And here is Nebuchadnezzar coming down, and here's Jerusalem, the Jews at the time. They are trying to figure out how to avoid Nebuchadnezzar and how to make the threat go away. So now, here's our idols, and here's where we are today, and we're looking, and we mentioned it a bit ago, that men love darkness, and in Isaiah 5:20, men have taken woe unto us, for we call darkness light, and light darkness. So we switch it all around so that we don't have to answer anything about darkness. That's important. We ought to know about darkness. No, because we just call darkness light. Now, if we call darkness light, then we're free to do whatever in it in the name of light. Hang on. Now, in the light of that, brutish, and the word brutish, remember, means stupid. So now, here we are looking, and Jeremiah, remember, is going to be in prison. Do they like Jeremiah is a light shining to the people? Do the people like Jeremiah's light being a light shining in their darkness? No, they don't. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to end up putting Jeremiah in prison. In fact, they're going to try to kill him. That's what they're going to try to do. Now, hang on to that and see where it goes. Now, in the light of that, over in the light of darkness, and Nebuchadnezzar and Israel are both in darkness. Israel wants to be like the other nations. Israel is following suit in thinking and doing and practicing like the nations do in their darkness, in their idolatry. And therefore, what do we have? Well, Israel is in just as dark as Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar feels that he's in control and he in his darkness, and he's coming doing what he does. And Israel in its darkness is hoping it'll go away. So here's Israel. Dark. Everything's dark. Now, and so here's the evidence. The evidence is overwhelming about the darkness. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, overwhelming. Over to Romans. Again, it won't be wasted, I hope. Romans in chapter 1. If I can, remember now, the evidence is overwhelming about God. It's overwhelming. Now, if it's overwhelming, why aren't people going with God? Because they aren't interested in light, as you'll see in a minute. And the way we do it is to play a word mind game, and we call darkness light and light darkness, among other things. And therefore, we don't have to consider the evidence. We can take the evidence and rethink it: evolution, communism, Freudian psychology, humanism, socialism. You can line them all up, and we'll rethink it and redo it, and we'll call it advancement of science, advancement of man. Science, society. Now, and it's true, there's no question, the Apostle Paul might have wished he had a smartphone, but he never did. He never had a smartphone. And he couldn't have called anyone anyway, because no one else would have had a smartphone. So that was no good. So now, here's Romans 1. And remember, just look the words, you want to lock it in as we proceed here. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. And the reason, God has showed it unto them. So they know the person of God, and we've shared that 100,000 times. Everyone knows when they're little that there's a God. I don't care if they're raised in the Sahara Desert, or if they're raised in New York City, or they're raised in the middle of Islam. Everyone knows this God. God does that. And everyone knows that a kangaroo isn't God, and stars aren't God, and idols aren't God, and they all know that. But, that having said that, then people, but our society is, darkness is highly effective and influential. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, very, very plain. How so? Being understood by the things that are made, and everything made is awesome. From animals, bugs, birds, beasts, flowers, where do you want to go? What do you want to study? Anything in the world you can study, and it's awesome. So now, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, is deity, so that they are without excuse. Okay, now. So that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, etc. So now, here they are. They had the evidence, is overwhelming evidence, that but it is of little value, and to when unbelief comes to grips with all of the evidence, but we're calling dark light, light darkness, and all such maneuvers, and to boot, we want to add to that, John chapter 3, you aren't far away, might as well go there. And as you lock it in your mind, it'll stay there ultimately, and you won't even have to open it, because it'll be there. I got it. John chapter 3, picking up please. If I can, as you would note, verse 19, this is the condemnation, 3 and 19, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because the deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, in the bad stuff, you don't want to bring it to the light, you want to conceal it in darkness. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds, his works, should be reproved, made clear, and rebuked, and judged. So we don't want to do that. So we know when we need to be saved by a wonderful Savior, but we don't want to be saved because then we have to admit we're a sinner. And we have to admit that we have no righteousness that is worthy of any merit and will not save us. So we're going to stick to darkness. We love darkness rather than light. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, in the light of that, John chapter 1, and we were there here the other day, John 1 reminding you, going directly in the context in that, verse 5, the light shineth in darkness. I did it Sunday morning, I guess. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Remember the word comprehend means to seize, to go after, to conquer, to go after. The darkness seeks to prevail over the light, and the light keeps shining, and all the darkness is busy trying to put out the light. Hang on to that. To get the light out. What can we do to get the light out? We don't really want to know the reality of things as they really are, because then we'd have to turn to you, God, and hope that you could do something to save us. So now, so men, here they are, loving darkness more than light, and the darkness is hostile, a hostile enemy to light. It isn't interesting. Hang on to that one. Over. Over in your Bible here, while you're in the Gospel of John, you might as well stay right where you are for a moment. And in chapter 10, Joshua 1, that's Joshua. Well, I thought of that one too. Forget Joshua right at the moment. John, chapter 1, verse 10. What do we know about the world? The world loves darkness? Uh-huh, that's what they do. And they should know, but they don't want to know. The evidence is very clear. And the only way we can not know is deny it. And thus, because darkness doesn't reveal anything, does it? but light does. But if I can call darkness light, then I can say what I think in the dark, whatever I think, I can call the idol that I make, the religion, my prayers, my rituals, I can make them anything I want in the dark. In the light, I can't do it. So now, thus John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And what about it? Well, the world knew him not. The world did not know him. Pontius Pilate, what are you going to say later in John 18? What the Lord Jesus said, he is the truth. And then Pilate is going to have to say in the whole section, 37 and that, he's going to say, what is truth? I'm a Roman centurion, an officer. No one knows truth. We have all kinds of idols and all kinds of religion. Who knows what the truth is? Ah. So, Pilate, do you know this truth? Ah, but I don't know. I don't know. Why don't you know? The nations of the world, do you know this truth? There is, but you. Why don't you know? Because you don't want to know. You're calling darkness light and light darkness. You're loving darkness rather than light. And as long as you love darkness rather than light, there just is going to be no light for you. Now, Hank, keeping that in mind, and remember, in, well, here you're still in John 8, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And keep in mind now, in verse 8 and 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, what did he say? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So God make, what's a, John's all about? What? The light shineth in darkness. Well, then who is the light? He's the light. Now, how are you going to put out God? You can't put out God. You can't put out God. He's the light. All right, hang on to that. And in the process, now what are we going to do? Well, God became flesh, flesh and blood. The Jewish people had a terrible time receiving that because they did not understand their own nature, their sinfulness. They didn't understand the saving solution God had with thousands and thousands of sacrifices that didn't ever clicked in their head like it should have. Now, so here, looking, he's the light of the world. And in the process, God, here he come, born of Bethlehem of Judea, and here he is. He's the light of the world. Now, I want to know, remember, the world loves darkness, what? Rather than light. They're in the light. And the darkness is busy trying to put out the light. You got that part? Got that. And Christ is the light. And it's very clear, Romans 1, that God is light. And light is right. But, what's going to happen? Well, he's the light of the world, all right. And the Lord, Matthew chapter 16, and picking up, if I can, in verse 13. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, what were the people that were somewhat interested, Jewish, somewhat interested in God and in the Bible, what did they say? And they asked, in verse 14, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now remember, these are the disciples. So I'm interested in, now who's going to go? Which one of you guys have got this? You got it all clear, light, darkness? You guys are born in darkness. You're living in a world of darkness. You're living in Israel in darkness. So you're not doing very good, are you? No, they aren't. So are they going to be able to answer it? No. God helps them with the answer because they don't have one. Therefore, I'll read it. Verse 15, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And if he didn't do it, you wouldn't know, would you? You wouldn't know. Interesting so far. He's the light, and but darkness is in the world, all over, everywhere. That's what it is. It means we don't want to know the Creator. Or we don't want evidence from everything, flowers, bugs, birds. We don't want to have that evidence. So now, and Peter and them will say, remember in John chapter 6, and the feeding of except you eat of the flesh of my body and my blood, drink of my blood, and many disciples walked no more with him, no more of this, no more. And then he turned around to his 12 and said, what do you guys say? And then Peter said, well, we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Son of God. We're sure of it. We just know you who you are. We don't understand it, but we know you are who you are. That's the start. But in the process now, picking up, if I can, and remember now, they're trying to put out the light. And remember, always trying to put out the light. You've got to get rid of the light. So that's always through history. All through history, there's always, among the Jews, among good kings, bad kings, and all of that. And so now, and in the days of Esther, Persia, remember Haman tried to go, Haman tried to go and eliminate all Jews. Hitler went after Jews within the territory he had. Haman went after all the Jews, wherever they were, anywhere in the nation. He wanted them all dead. And so, God, here we are looking, and when it comes to light, Christ is the light of the world. And they don't love, they love darkness, and John 1:5, and darkness is opposed, is prevailing, is seeking to hostile and attack light, to try to kill light. But you can't kill light. Darkness can't kill. Do a thing to light. But they were going to do it anyway because the light is a threat to all of our darkness, our whole world, the religion. Idols, thinking, our philosophy, our way of living. It threatens our whole existence. So if we let light in, we have to change everything. Oh. Now, so you know in John chapter 15, in John chapter 15, they hate me. They're going to hate you if they hate me. Why? Because you're the light. And if you're going to walk with me and know me, they're going to hate you. Why are they going to hate you? Because of me. It isn't you they hate. It's Christ in you they hate. That's what they hate. So now, having said that little bit, and remember, here's the children, and God, what have you done in your wonderful way to make foolish the things of this world? God, here you are. You came in flesh and blood to die on the cross to save us. Now, and they're asking for a sign. The only sign, remember, sign of the prophet Jonah, risen from a grave. Now, God, you could have quit then, but you're going to show your grace a little longer because you said the sign of resurrection was one moment and now you got all these years to show it. Otherwise, you would have had only 40 days and boom, it'd be all gone. But God's been showing it all these years, showing that grace. Wow. And how so? He's taken humans, whosoever's to believe, that are made of and indwelt by God, saved, but they're flesh and blood. They're flesh and blood. And thus God, what have you done? You went after the humanity of Christ before the cross. And now you're going after the humanity of Christ after the cross in your church, the body of believers. You're chasing, hunting, killing humanity in the hopes of killing Christ. And get darkness to the forefront again. Now, that's where we're headed. Hang on, and we'll get there, I hope, quickly. So here's darkness, and again, well, you're here in Matthew, why not? Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And if you would, and remember, this is repeated from Isaiah 6 and elsewhere, so that we understand it. Picking up chapter 13 of Matthew, going if I can to going directly to verse 14. In them he is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So Paul and them, Peter and them, are coming along, but they haven't got there yet. But boy, he said, you know, the whole world's looking at me. They see with their eyes, but they don't see at all because of their unbelief. They're blinded. Why do we know that? Well, because the God of this world, he's in charge. And what does he need? He needs a human heart to forget God, leave God out of the picture, Romans 1, 20, 21, 19, 20, 21. Leave it out. Forget that. Leave it out. And the minute I do that, the God of this world dominates in darkness. And since I reject light, I am in darkness. True? If I reject light, I am in darkness. Now, so, seeing they see and see not, and so there's all kinds of persecution, and the persecution for the execution of light, actually. We're going to go and execute light if we can do it, get rid of it. Now, in the process of all of that, and again, the only sign is the sign of the prophet Jonah, the life of the Lord Jesus in the believer, and flesh and blood is walking around to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ that he's risen again. And we aren't unique critters up there having some super-duper appearance, you know, something that said, wow, they're immortal, they're aliens. No, they're just ordinary people showing the wonderful grace of God, because that is the way you need to see. You need to see God saves humans. God saves whosoever. All whosoever's to believe are bearing witness to other whosoever's that they may believe. So now, in the process, the light, the assault upon Christ by darkness in the world is not lessened at all. It continues and continues and continues. And we are to be witnesses to Christ. And we know that darkness, does darkness know what light is? Absolutely. And we share that a little bit Sunday somewhere in Romans 1 and 2. And there, that even the unsaved know good and bad, and right and wrong. They just are going to excuse themselves or accuse you by saying you in light are wrong. I in darkness am right. And who are you to tell me? See, because you're light. And we don't believe. Light isn't clear to us at all. So when you talk about God and light and truth, that isn't clear to us. And do you ever hear people say, oh boy, where'd you ever hear that? I never heard that. I never understood that. How come they do that when everything's so clear? Because they're in darkness. Now, so having said that little bit, keeping that before you, and the light, in the light of the light, go over with me to another little way to do this. So the Christ is persecuted. Christ is persecuted in the believers in the church. That's why we want to have our churches. Why? Because who's going to say anything? But if you're going to be a testimony to Jesus Christ, and you're going to honor him in your heart, even if it's in the lousiest, littlest way, there's a little bit of something in you, and the devil knows it, and angels know it. And so as we honor Christ, then that's where the attack is, wherever the people get together and try to honor him properly, that's where the opposition is going to come, the hatred is going to come. And therefore, darkness is going to make an assault on the Bible, on God, and on your testimony. They don't make it, you could say you're a member of 10 churches. You know, that sounds pretty prestigious. But I have to tell you, what does it mean? Who cares if you're a member of 10 churches? No one. But if you tell them that, listen, the living and only God has saved me and made me whole and lives within my heart. And that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable out there. Not darkness is not going to do it. So now here's the church, and the church goes up. There goes the evidence. Christ is gone. The church, his testimony, his witnesses. But 144,000 Jews and all of that. Now, come over with me, please, quickly. Oh, to Revelation. And let me go into the tribulation from the revelation to the tribulation. And in the process, just I want you to see the difference. Here we are now with all the opposition, hatred, darkness, light. And you say, why me? We're to walk as children of light, aren't we? Aren't we children of light? We're supposed to walk as children of light. Well, then they're going to get clipped. That doesn't mean you don't do it, and it doesn't mean you're going to. God protects you, keeps you, give you a great job, give you great wealth. God will say, God's wonderful things. God isn't a meanie. God's a wonderful God. He wants to bless you. He blesses the Jews out there now. The Jews are doing what they're doing, and God's blessing them. He's watching over them. In unbelief, he's going to protect them. Let alone if we're trying to believe, boy, God, you're going to help us. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Revelation, and in chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, picking up please in verse 7, you would note. I just want you to catch, remember now, Romans 1, all the creation, everything tells God, everything tells you about God. You'd have to be totally dead not to see it. Blind. That's right. Unbelieving. Now, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye, seeing they see not, but not anymore. Right now, seeing they see not, but not anymore. Every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. So if God, you mean everyone everywhere, China, India, absolutely. And picking up, please, in chapter 6, in God's outworking in the tribulation, wrath, remember? And God, what have we got? Well, verse 16, 6 and 16. And he said to the mountains, the people, and rocks, mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who should be able to stand? Now, I want to know in the tribulation, are you guys going to be just as stupid about God Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You're going to be very, very conscious of God, aren't you, who love darkness rather than light? That's right. Now, going just a bit further, over to chapter 9. Well, chapter 9. Well, I use it because it's idols. You want idols. You want to know what kind of stuff's going on in tribulation. Chapter 9, verse 20, Revelation. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not, N-O-T, of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, devils, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, of wood, and neither which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, drugs, etc., nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They didn't change a thing. You say, boy, now it's real clear. They don't have to worry about whether, is there a God? Absolutely there's a God. What are you going to do with them? Well, we're going to get to our idols and our system. We're going to make our system aggressively strong and go after. And Islam and all of it, boom, we got to go out and prove it. Prove it by overcoming. Uh-huh. So now, over in your looking, chapter 60. Chapter 16. And if I may, in chapter 16, you'll catch the, I'll give you just a little, verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God. You would think you'd say, God have mercy on me, no? Which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not, N-O-T, to give him glory. Verse 10, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom, what about the Antichrist? What kind of devil, the devil and the Antichrist? His kingdom was full of what? Darkness. See, they love darkness. It's the world of darkness. That's what we love. What's going to happen? Straight out confrontation. Right now, darkness, John 1:5, trying to put it out, trying to get light out. And then straight conflict. God versus the devil. Truth versus error. Light versus darkness. Straight on. Wow. Now, having said that, and so, there's no more, it's a whole other world now, as if it just do. The tribulation is, you're all going to know. But what good does it do to know if you won't believe? No good. Again, over if you would. Revelation. Oh, no. On the way to going to millennium. And the millennium is a wonderful time. And there's no religion, no religions going. And you have a wonderful human, wonderful society where men are unsaved by the many. But that doesn't stop. There's no religion. There's no way to play games. Everyone in the millennium knows he's Lord of lords and King of kings. And all of them know that. So there's no way to live in North Siberia and not know it. Everyone's going to know. Now we're going to move then. So that's plenty of light, but they don't believe as the sand of the sea when it comes to the end of the millennium. So now, Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 23. Revelation 21, 23. What do we know? In God, Romans, 1 John 1, verse 5, in him is no darkness at all. So now, I'm looking future. I'm trying to get the darkness, light, how it works out. And in the new heaven and a new earth, chapter 21, verse 23, and the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Uh-huh. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So God, what happened to the darkness? There is no more darkness. It's all light. Wonderful light. You say, well, boy, you need to sleep. Do you? Do you? No. You got a can't you just see in the resurrection body you have, you could be all over. And every now and then, up there and forever, little rest stations so that you could stop and rest. Do you remember the rest stations? There is no more sleep, you see. It's always light. Chapter 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And what happened to the darkness? All gone. Wherever God is, there is no darkness. And man, you go, to the other side of the coin. To the other side. All light. But elsewhere, what do we know? In a marvelous way. And all of the unsaved, Matthew, Mark, etc., are sentenced to outer darkness, where the demons are. Outer darkness. Forever. You have to think about that. And all the implications. Wow. Now, in closing, over if you would please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John chapter 17. May I pick up directly and quickly, verse 14. 17, 14. Now remember, if you can just remember a little bit of what I tried to mumble out to you, to help you think about about light and darkness. And why am I just want to trust God? Well, if you're a child of light, then that's a wonderful thing. And the devil knows it, demons know it, and the world doesn't want to know it. So that's why we become mum and dumb. Because no one wants to know. They love darkness rather than light. And when you throw out light to them, they hate it. So therefore, we try to be a witness. For sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, and you'll be answer to everyone that what? Asketh you a reason, the hope that's within you. So you're going to walk around full of light. And they keep calling all these things that say, well, no, that isn't true. Well, that isn't true. That isn't right. You can just say it casually. And say, how do you know that? Well, it isn't right. It doesn't match up to reality. No, it doesn't match up to the light. The light. Light and darkness. And now you've got them thinking. Light and darkness. How about that? Now, so John chapter 17, verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. So God, what have you done? I've gone and I've left them in the world. That's my testimony to them. My testimony to the world. I said I could save people and remove them, but then there'd be no testimony. I want to leave them to be a testimony, my witnesses, lights in the darkness until I come. It's grace, grace time. Wrath is coming up, tribulation, it's grace time. So God, how come you're so easygoing? I'm not easygoing. I'm long before being angry. And I'm waiting. Well, it looks like, God, you don't care about anything or anyone. Wrong. Now, verse chapter 16. So here we are in the world, and God leaves us in it, wonderfully so, children of light, walking in the light. And chapter 16, you remember, in all the upper room discourse, and here among many, many wonderful treasures, verse 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you're going to have a wonderful peace, not as the world giveth, chapter 14. In the world you shall have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, but be of good cheer, courage. I've overcome the world, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and therefore I hope you're not offended because I leave you. You know, God, why can't you take me home? No, because I saved you to show you, to be a little light out there, wherever it is, work, home, school, and the place to say, well, no one else here cares. A little light. You know, when you walk down the corridor, wherever it is, at work, at school, and you're there, and let's see if I do. And as you walk down the corridor, you're just a little light. A little light in the darkness. Can you see that little light? That's all you are, where you are. And the world hates that. They would like it out. They'd like it out. But you're going to gracefully, kindly, lovingly bear witness and recognition of a wonderful Savior and a wonderful God. And you have the edge and the advantage. And so therefore, be of good cheer and enjoy Jeremiah's wonderful, wonderful help in helping us understand idols and the stupidity of such things. Wow. And it doesn't seem stupid to the world. No. You tell them that religion's stupid, you know, they're going to really like you, you know, if you tell them that. They can tell us it's stupid. I don't care, because I don't care what they say. Can light be destroyed by darkness? No. Can error destroy truth? No. Truth is truth. Right is right. It's the way it is. It's all it is. That's wonderful. Pilate said, "What is the truth?" Jesus said, "I am the truth." You see? Well, okay. You perhaps have a bit. Yes, you do.